Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Scripture tells us not to be ashamed of the gospel. Whenever we are persecuted for sharing the gospel or a biblical truth, we are not doing anything wrong. However, we should take care not to do anything that dishonors or misrepresents the name of the Lord. We should be morally pure, law-abiding people that will speak the truth in love to a lost and dying world. Please open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 4 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his discussion of verses 12 through 19.
Let me give you something to consider. Remember when Judas brought Jesus and all of the soldiers into the garden, right? Remember that? And Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. And who rose up to defend Jesus? Pete. Remember what he did? He had a sword. He drew it. He smote the high priest's servant, cut off his right ear. We're even told his name was Malchus. Matthew 26:52, Jesus said unto him, "Put up again your sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." Peter thought he was defending Jesus when actually he was misrepresenting Jesus. Nobody will come to Christ when we witness like Peter. How did Jesus reply when he was persecuted? Well, we already saw in chapter 2, verse 21 of 1 Peter, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. And then, as we're going to see at the end of the study, but committed himself as Son of Man to him, his Father, who judges righteously. Do you hear what Peter is saying here, beloved? I believe it's Peter's spirit-filled counsel from personal experience that if Christians do have to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ, make sure that we suffer in a way that brings God glory and does not misrepresent the name of Jesus Christ. By the way, you guys know this. You know who the last person on earth that Jesus healed, did a miracle of healing on before he was crucified? This soldier. Remember? Peter, obviously not a good swordsman. He was probably going for the head, and he just got the ear. Jesus picks up the ear. Oh, right then and there. Wouldn't you say, if you were the head of the commander of the Roman soldiers, you go, "Okay, I think we should probably back off with this guy." No. Because God had purpose from eternity that Christ was going to die for the sins of the world. Here's the lesson. Jesus healed the soldier whose ear Peter cut off. Listen, beloved, people are converted when their hearts are pricked, not when their ears are cut off. We are commanded to speak the truth. And let me say, very clearly, we are in no way, shape, or form to be quiet or to be passive. That's not what this is about. But when we speak, we are to speak the truth in love. We're living in a pretty toxic time in the world, aren't we? And in our nation. And it's very easy for you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, to look at us Christians, we're the good guys, and the other side are the bad guys. If you see yourself like that, if I see myself like that, we're not going to be witnessing the way Jesus did. We're going to be cutting off ears. And the people are not going to want to hear or come to Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, Jeremiah was what? The weeping prophet. I often think that when Jesus, in the Gospels, he was surrounded by multitudes. Did you ever stop and consider who was in that multitude? We can give you an idea. John chapter 3, a religious wreck by the name of Nicodemus. John chapter 4, a Samaritan woman who had a very, let's just say her lifestyle was lesser than pure. And then in John chapter 5, a physical wreck. Man that had been in a wreck physically for 38 years. Hey, that describes us. Religious wrecks, moral wrecks, physical wrecks. You know why people surrounded Jesus? Because they were kicked out of the ability to go to a synagogue or to a temple. Getting a message here? We are called to be witnesses, and we can either be stepping stones for people to come to Christ, right? Or stumbling stones. It's pretty serious stuff when you read what a stumbling stone is. When was the last time you wept over the state of our nation? When was the last time that you and I wept over the stuff that's going on? The political stuff, the racial stuff, all of the stuff that's going on. We're really good at attack, right? I don't believe that God calls us to be attack sheep. Attack sheep are poor evangelists. Who's our example of being an evangelist? Jesus. Jesus said, Peter, you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. And Jesus standing there, he covered for Peter. He says, Peter, this is how people will be won to me. And then he says in verse 17, now this is within the context of suffering. For the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And so the judgment spoken of here is the kind of judgment that God brings about when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake. This is how God purges us and chastens us and purifies us. You see, the church is the strongest and the purest when we are holy and persecuted for being righteous. That's when the church is the strongest and the most powerful. It's when we suffer for righteousness' sake that our lives are cleansed, our lives are made holier. It's when we are suffering for righteousness' sake that we are stronger in our fellowship with one another and in our fellowship with the Lord. And notice it says, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Well, how do people that obey not the gospel of God come to know Christ? Who is called to be ambassadors for the gospel? You and me. Wherever you work, wherever you live, whatever family you're in, no matter where you go, you're called to be an ambassador, a witness. Saints, we do not need to defend Jesus. He can handle himself. He saves us to be a witness. A witness. You know what the word witness in Greek is? Martus, a martyr. Huh? What does a martyr do? He or she dies. Dies to what? Dies to self. Dead to self. Alive in Christ. We've got our work cut out for us, beloved. Don't we? There's a whole bunch of people out there that are not saved. And they say things and do things that really... They say things and do things like you used to and like I used to, right? When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he said, but you have been made alive by grace that you saved through faith and then out of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then he tells those Ephesians who were sometimes walking according to the course of this world. Now, remember, at one time, you were not circumcised. At one time, you were without Christ. You were then without Christ. You had no hope. He says, never forget where you came from. Beloved, never forget where you and I were redeemed from, what we were redeemed out of. It's the same people that are doing the same things that you and I used to do. Why don't we? Because of the grace and love of God. Right? True? Peter is actually, you know what Peter's saying here without saying it? I've learned from experience how to do the right thing the wrong way. That's what basically he's saying to us. And then he says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, verse 18, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Now, notice, beloved, that the righteous are not those who are sinlessly perfect, but those who strive to live righteously in word and attitude and in deed. And then he sums it up this way. He says, therefore, or wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. This word commit was a banking term meaning to deposit for safe keeping. Peter is telling these saints who are being persecuted, I've been there. And this much I can tell you. The best thing to do when you are being persecuted is commit yourself to Christ. You know what he's saying? Listen carefully. Do not react to darkness. Respond in the light. There's a lot of things that are going on that freak people out. How many of you know that the real ultimate purpose of the news media is to cause you to be afraid? They get paid to put fear in you. I don't care if they're the left, the right, the north, the south. Everything is fear. You know what keeps you in perfect peace? You know what keeps me in perfect peace? When my mind is stayed on him. Ultimately, beloved, ultimately, our God is in control. Our God still rules and reigns. You believe that? Our God is the one that commands the winds, the waves, even the ocean. It says, he tells the ocean. You ever see those ocean waves? It says, stop, don't go any further. Isn't that powerful? He controls the solar system. He is in control. Not you, not me, not us. You know what he says? I don't need you to defend me. I need you to be a witness. I need you to respond to persecution and opposition the way I did. He's being nailed to the cross. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They knew what they were doing. They didn't see the big picture. Commit yourself to the Lord. Paul would say in 2 Timothy 1:12, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to commit that which I have committed unto him against that day. Have you ever done that? Have you ever committed your soul to him? Lord, I'm a sinner. I have no hope of being right with the holy God apart from you. And Lord, I commit myself to you today. And when you do that, you know what you did? You've just given to him, in a sense. You've given him the key to your heart, the key to your life, the key to every area of your life. Is Lord, now you take over. You are in control. Jesus said on the cross, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And Peter is saying to you and me that when we find ourselves suffering for righteousness' sake, entrust your soul and your situation to your Creator. You see, God is the creator of everything, even the situation in which you're suffering. How many of you know that nothing can happen in your life or in my life unless it is first Father-filtered? Persecution, opposition, ask Job. Ask the three Hebrew midwives. Ask Daniel. Ask Jeremiah. Ask the apostles. They'll tell you. Everything in your life is Father filtered. He's the God and creator of the person to whom you're married, the person with whom you work, the neighbor by whom you live. He is the God of every situation. He's perfectly positioned you and I all around this area to be what? Lights shining for Jesus. Now, please understand that God does not take pleasure when his people suffer, but it is his will that they do what is right, even if suffering is the result. And again, I cannot emphasize enough, if there's any a time when the church needs to be verbal and visible, it's today. We can't afford to be passive and just let evil run amok. But I suggest to you that we must do it in the way that Jesus would have us to do it. With the right heart, with the right motive. I guarantee that if you're witnessing to somebody that is going through some kind of a situation, a drug addiction or a relationship problem, and they see tears coming out of your eyes rather than... they're more apt to listen to what you're saying. That's your sword. That's not the sword of the Spirit. Tim Keller's in heaven now. And he once wrote, tolerance. You hear a lot about tolerance, right? How many here, boy, how many of you are toleranted out? Tolerance. Listen to what he said. Tolerance isn't about not having beliefs. It's about how your beliefs lead you to treat people who disagree with you. I'm fine with Dylan until we have conversations about things that I don't agree with him. Then I go, how was Dylan today? I hate him. No. I mean, I'm just, no. Just ixnay that. No, I'm just trying to give an example, right? You're living in a world where people don't have your worldview. Think you're, a little bit off? What do you expect? They're lost. They're blind, just like you were, just like I was. And then somebody shared the good news. I got good news for you, Ray. What? You don't have to live the way you're living anymore. What? Jesus died on the cross for your sin. What? What do I have to do to be saved? What do I have to do? You see, we've forgotten, and part of the problem with us evangelizing is that we forget. We have this mentality that the body of Christ, we're the good guys, and anybody that is not saved are the bad guys. Well, no, we're righteous, only righteous because we're in Christ. They are only living the way that they live and believing what they believe because they are in Adam. They need to be saved. So, remember when Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount? You have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Don't let anybody tell you that the words of Jesus are not for us today. This is how we evangelize. You have people that hate you because of your faith in Christ. You have people that are your enemies because of your faith in Christ. You have people that curse you because of your faith in Christ. You have people that despitefully use you because of your faith in Christ. Yes. So he says what to do. Love them. Bless them. Do good to them. Pray for them. Why? That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you only love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you have more than others? Do not even publicans do so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. It was so beautiful driving here this morning. The sun is shining. My neighbors are not saved. And it was shining in their yard too. Who caused the sun to shine there? The Lord. Your goodness. Running after. Oh, we love to sing it, right? Yeah, your goodness is running after. Running after your neighbor. Your goodness is running after the person that you're screaming at because you can't believe what they're talking about on TV. It's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. Master, I keep all your commandments. Oh, you do? What are the great commandments? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, honestly, I wish that you guys were my neighbors. But that's not the way it is. But it's like room service right there, a mission field. Do you see the difference? We've got this mentality. I don't know where it's come from. I'm sure it's not from the Spirit of God, that we're the good guys, they're the bad guys. Attack them, put them down. You know what? They're the people that need to hear the gospel. Who's going to go into the inner city and share the gospel? Who's going to share the gospel? Well, we've got people that share the gospel everywhere. Right, Matt? Right? That's what we're called to do every day. It's good news. The gospel is good news. The world is bad news. It's good news. There's forgiveness in Christ, and there's an eternal resting place. I believe that Peter earlier pretty much summed up what I've been trying to say, and I know what you're thinking. Then why didn't you say that 45 minutes ago? Well, I figured that you dressed up and came all the way here, so I might as well just keep you for a little bit. 1 Peter 3:14-17. Listen to this. But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Now, it doesn't mean happy like me win, they lose. It means in spite of you, you're blessed. Because the only reason why you're on this side of the equation is because of that middle cross of Calvary and that empty tomb. That's the only thing that separates you and I from the lost, right? Happy are you. Don't be afraid of their terror. Neither be troubled. But notice, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed to falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Do you agree? There's a lot at stake in our nation. There's a lot going on in the world. And these words of Peter just really, again, just bring to our attention the weight of why Christ came. We're on a mission. We are all called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. When I was reading this morning, and I have to admit, I got so convicted. It was like the Lord was telling me, Raymond, you're never going to win anybody to Christ chopping off their ears. In fact, you may alienate the ones that I'm seeking to save. Peter wasn't the example of being a witness in the garden. Jesus was. He overcame truly evil with good. And in light of the toxic atmosphere that exists in our nation today and so many cultural and racial and political issues, I think it would serve you and I well as followers of Jesus Christ to make sure that when we take a stand for righteousness, and again, I am not advocating at all passivity, but being agape-filled Christians speaking the truth and speaking the gospel in love with tears in our hearts like Jesus weeping over for Jerusalem. I make the appeal to you and I that we witness with a Christ-like spirit of meekness and the fear of God. Because it is possible to be doing a lot of right things for the wrong reasons and with the wrong heart and with the wrong motive. And in doing so, we may be driving away the very people that we are called to reach with the gospel. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward, moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.